Warren Shaw here with Sean Ash, with Jerry Nutter, with Jake Martin, with Tim Bommel. And we have two guests in the studio. They're both Drake and Selectman, Tony Yachinski and Joe DiRocco. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Warren.
All right, good to see you. Now, listen, Karen Mel wanted me to remind everybody there is a Facebook page for this birthday walk today. And it is, what is it, Sean, do you know?
God, no, I don't.
All right, we'll get it out there.
I can tell you it's going to be at 10 o'clock on 113.
Right, go down 113 after the Legion and before you get to the lights. It's you'll see the parking station. Lot on the left there.
Right, there's a little water pumping station, and there's going to be refreshments there, and that's where we're going to stop.
Is Sean really doing the refreshments?
Yes.
And don't go without bringing your boots. You are hiking through the woods.
Well, that's the problem with this, because originally I think Karen had it laid out to be
snowshoes.
Yeah. And, of course, the snow is all gone, and then the frost left us. I don't know whether overnight, because it's pretty chilly last night, I don't know whether there's enough to put a thick a half inch of frost there to keep everybody above the mud. But
well, we have a beautiful day of sunshine, so it's going to be a nice day for it one way or the other.
Yeah. All right. And Joe DiRocco, what do you got to say for yourself? You're not going for the walk.
I will not be able to make the walk, no.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's your excuse. I mean, it's not.
Attend a business. The wife had major surgery, and we're on amends.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's all good. Everybody's got. Everybody's going to be where they're supposed to be. That's all that matters. All right. So, Drake at Open Space Committee's Facebook page, saith Karen Merrill.
I'm
done taking instructions from Karen Merrill for this morning. At 7:12. All right, so we got some.
You got to take them from somebody.
An interesting conversation to have today, which is about what you folks did on Tuesday night. And I'm not 100% clear on it, so I'm going to start with Tony. You tell me, where did the board land? Did the board take a position, or is it still up in the air?
Well, I think it is pretty much still up in the air. You know, as you know, we've just completed a study on the Joint Budget Task Force that has studied the issue ad nauseum, actually. And, you know, I think, personally, we have come full circle to what it is that I actually wanted to happen to begin with. And that is get all the stakeholders in one room and talk to the people that know what their budgets are and what the issues are. And so in collaboration with both sides of government, we agreed that we need more money to operate the town. So how do we fund the town? How do we get more money into the bottom line is up for debate.
Right. All right. But the board hasn't decided what it's going to go before the people in a ballot question, right?
Yes. Right. Exactly. So.
And
so
you've taken the position it should be one.
Yes. Yes. I have taken the position that it should be one question. I believe that you know, we're all one town. You know, we're all in this together. You know, we're in agreement that we need more police officers, we need more firefighters, we need more teachers, we need more guidance counselors. So if you look at it in a holistic point of view,
right.
This is the problem. We've studied it. This is what we need to do.
All right. And Joe, you look at it differently.
I look at it differently. I think it should be two questions. And my reasoning is because I think the people are educated and smart enough to make a decision on what's the right thing to do. I think it should be put to them that way. I think the school, I mean, they've been all over the board. I mean, this tri-board thing started off, you know, we were looking for $3 million. Now we're down to 550. I think Superintendent threw another bombshell the other night. He brought up the fact about the rebates, which I've never heard of rebates.
What are rebates? I don't know what you're talking
rebates
about.
Rebates. When if they got their $550, they would spend, I think, $330 for into technology, and $230 would come back in the form of a rebate. I mean, all of this stuff should have been out there from the beginning.
Well, I don't understand the rebate.
Well. If I can just interrupt for one second.
Explain to me what it is.
I think I can explain it.
Well, okay. All right. Well, go for it. Let him.
Go ahead.
Let Joe do it.
I think I can do it. Anyway, so you know, I had never heard about this rebate.
Yep.
So this $550 now is supposed to turn into about $750. The other things that they ended up saying was that, you know, we'll spend the $330 or whatever the amount is on technology. Then they'll have this extra rebate money to do hiring and all this other stuff.
So because of the investment in technology, there are additional funds generated.
Yes, there are.
Right.
Which they're going to hire people with, which eventually the rebates go away. So.
Right.
You still got to pay for those salaries at some point.
But, I mean, technology or not, this is not a technology override for the schools.
It's not an operation. Exclusion.
Well, right, the whole thing started out. At first, there was going to be a, I don't know, I think it was a 1.1, 1.2 technology debt exclusion
they've
that was out
it.
There.
Yep.
Now that's gone away. They were looking at one point, I believe it was like $2 million, and now that's gone away. Now we're down to 550. I mean, this thing is just so far over the board. It's just like, it seems to me the information is only given to you as a need basis, the outlook of what they're doing. They're not forthwith with everybody. I mean, I find it, the honesty is not there.
All right. So on the matter of the changing numbers, I think, this is my understanding, so either of you can correct me if I'm wrong, it started off with an analysis of finances, and this is the shortfall. And it went from there to trying to guess what people might, it might be palatable, right? Is that, I mean,
well,
is that
I, well, the way I look at it is, you know, we were always, throughout the whole Joint Budget Task Force, we were always looking for a reasonable number. You can't go in there and ask for the sky. And as far as the technology piece, I don't think it was as immediate as Joe says it was. I mean, the superintendent's been talking about the need for technology in the schools since the day we started the Joint Budget Task Force. And the way it's been explained to me, you know, not being that technical, but you know, you have more bandwidth going into your house than they have going into the high school. So
yeah, but Tony,
so what that doesn't make any sense because my house is around the corner from the school. So
what came out of the Joint Budget Task Force was a schedule of what they recommended for needs, and now
right.
that's not what they're asking
right.
for.
Right. Well, you know what? I mean, we need 10 police officers. We're not asking for 10 police officers. So there is a difference between what is needed and what is reasonable, and what is not going to cripple.
So is what they've requested? Has that changed? Is that's Joe's point?
I think what they've done is they've pared down to come to a reasonable number, and that is something that we gave them no direction. I mean, the school department
but
knows what they need more than I do.
I guess my point about this whole thing is at Tuesday's meeting, they came out and they said, you know, this program has been going on for a year already. They were already into year one of the rebate. Yet we just heard about the rebate program. They must have known it for a year ago that this rebate thing was there. I think it just should have been, a lot of stuff, I think the information should have been out there, task force, so everybody knows it. I mean, we say, you know, the tri-board, we say the budget task force, everything is forthwith, yet nobody was aware of all the big raises either. I mean, all of this stuff just happens.
Right, right. So
it's in the works, but it just happens all of a sudden.
Okay, so, but I mean, to the issue of the town moving forward, I think is the kind of, that's what the board is tasked with. And, you know, go ahead.
I mean, if I can just talk a little bit more, you know, about this rebate situation.
I don't want you guys to end up like Trump and Rubio.
Well, you know, the rebate thing. You know, when I think rebate, I think free money. I think money on the table.
Right.
And so, you know, you spend money to get the technology that we desperately need.
But
nobody doubts that we.
That's fine. But was this out there before, or is Joe correct in saying?
I can't tell you exactly. You know,
was it part of the tri-board discussion?
It wasn't a surprise to me Tuesday night, I can tell you that. Right?
It wasn't.
No, not at all.
Well, I've asked tri-board members, and nobody has heard this before. I mean, they didn't hear it before Tuesday night.
Yeah. Well,
so, I know, whatever Tony says, that's fine. But he may have heard it on a side conversation, but I don't believe it was brought up at any tri-board meeting.
Yeah, well, a tri-board or joint budget task force. But the bottom line is that, you know,
is it fair to say it wasn't presented to the full board of selectmen? Forget the tri-board for a second. I'm just trying to, like, separate, you know, the wheat from the chaff here. So
I think
Joe said, was it never presented in a form that Joe would have been at?
Well, probably not. I don't know. I want to think that, you know, when the school side was told to go back and to pare down and to come up with a reasonable number, maybe that's when they started thinking about, well, first of all, we need the technology piece.
Right.
So let's do the technology piece, and with that technology piece, we will get a rebate, you know, from the utility companies that will give
best
us money
use,
to
best
hire
use of the
staff.
The resources kind
that
of
will
decision.
Give us money to hire staff, right?
I don't think, from what you're saying, Joe, you're not opposed to this approach. You just don't understand where it came from. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. Right. And as I said the other night, and, you know, I said it to the superintendent, he's got to explain. I do know there's needs in a school. I do know that.
Well, you said here a few weeks ago with Dr. McNamara that if it was a separate override for the schools, you'd vote for it.
I would.
Yeah.
But I am not the one that's going to be out there trying to explain it.
Right.
That's my point. I think the thing is, there's so much distrust right now with the school in itself that they have to convince the people. As I said from day one on the first tri-board meeting I went to, it's not about that we need the money. What we should be looking at is how do we convince the people we need the money. And the things that we're doing is not helping us convince anybody.
Mm. Warren, I think that is the reason the school side chose this process of saying this is where we'll spend the money, because they figured that was the most sellable, is the technical upgrade, is something everybody wants.
I have no issue with it.
And
I'm
just
trying to separate out the stuff here. So,
but what bothers me as someone who was recently a parent is the fees.
Right.
And for some reason, they've overlooked the fee issue.
All right, so that's we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of this piece, it sounds to me like Selectman DiRocco's problem with it is he was unaware that it was coming.
Right.
But then again,
the schools don't present their whole budget to the Board of Selectmen. They present it to the Finance Committee.
Right. To me, the use of resources in that fashion makes perfect sense.
Oh, I agree.
If you're going to generate money by doing it. At any rate, we have Michael McNamara on the phone who wants to opine on the matter, and everybody put your headset on so you can hear the doctor. All right, Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good.
I do want to provide some clarification for Selectman DiRocco.
Okay.
The E-rate rebate program is designed by the federal government in such a way that if you spend money on technology, you do get a rebate from the federal government, which adds dollars to it. It actually is dollars that are added to the operating budget of the school department.
All right, so let me just,
I
didn't
think
that happen? Did this happen
I
before?
I think it's an incredibly smart idea. Take care of the technology that we need.
I understand what a rebate is, Mike.
Well, thank you, Joe.
You don't have to
point, in all fairness.
What a rebate is, I am telling you, it's when we got the information, not what a rebate
is. So to the point, in all fairness here, right? So, Michael, you and Joe were here, 3 weeks ago?
Correct.
That wasn't part of the conversation. So, I think it's a great idea. But it appears to me, just trying to separate out what's going on here, that Joe's problem with it is that he just found out about it. And, you know, so...
Well, as 3 weeks ago, we had not come up with the specific strategic plan as to how much money we were going to
be
requesting and how it was going to be spent.
So it's a new concept. There's nothing wrong with new concepts.
It's not a new concept.
And this,
the E-rate rebate has been around for probably three years, maybe even longer.
We know. Right. And I think you guys have already been the beneficiaries of rebates, right? I mean, weren't...
Correct. Right. Absolutely correct.
Right. But in this conversation, it's fair to say that this is a new discussion point. I don't think it's
a new discussion point in that.
And that's fine. So let's move on from
that. Override money for technology, which generates another $200,000+
in order
to provide staffing.
This is a three-year program. We're already through the first year. It shouldn't have taken a year for it to be brought up. I mean, the tri-board thing has been going on for probably 9 months into the discussion. So that's the problem, Mike. You come out with stuff only when it suits you.
Joe, we come out with stuff. You know, what you're trying to say is to really put a real division in this town. You continuously do this. And I'm really tired of it, to be honest with you.
Mike, I don't care what you're tired of. I speak for other people. Everybody is intelligent in this our community. I don't think we need to lump it into one just because if someone does something, the other side may not like it. I think the people should be and are intelligent enough to make their own decision, not by hiding it under the rug.
Joe, we're not hiding anything under the rug. Nothing.
Well, no, it's at this point, everything is out there, right? I mean, there's no issue.
Absolutely correct.
Right. So, but I think we got the issue of the rebates out there, right? So we all understand. There's nothing wrong with it, right?
No.
I mean, it's a good idea, I think. And I was aware that at some point in the past, the school district had been the beneficiary of, I think, was it over $100,000 in rebate revenue? Yes, I think so.
Well, it depends on how much money was spent on telephone. In the past, it's been on telephone service.
Right.
So we would get money back from the federal government based on the amount of money spent on telephone service.
Where does that money go? Directly into the school budget?
It goes into the school budget, and then is spent as needed.
Right. All right.
Why doesn't it go back into general funds, Mike?
Because it's a school expense, Joe.
Well, where are you getting the money to get this school expense, Mike?
From the school budget, Joe.
You are?
So I don't want to. That's legitimate.
It's
there's
like
nothing. There's nothing
it's like
wrong.
Grants.
With, there's nothing
so
wrong.
We get grants
with,
from the federal government.
There's nothing wrong.
And grants don't go into the general fund. They go to the school department.
Right. So it's a matter of at this point. I think we got through that. It's a matter of you want to throw. We've been talking, trying to get.
I just wanted to provide some clarification and some further understanding.
I'm always happy to have you provide clarification, Michael. I'll talk to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good day.
So
well, good morning.
So I think while we're on the subject of talking about how much mistrust or distrust there is towards the school side of government, I mean there's another side of the coin that I hear. I'm hearing from parents that the parents in our town are sick and tired of the selectmen kicking this can down the road. We've been kicking this can down the road.
What can are we talking about?
We're talking about the can where costs go up 7% a year. We can only raise the tax levy by 2.5%, maybe another 0.5% on new growth. So as costs go up and revenues go down, we find ourselves.
Well, revenues don't go down.
Well, I mean, as revenues do not keep up with costs, right. We find ourselves behind the eight ball every year. And there are a lot of parents out there that are wondering when the selectmen are going to do something about the dire situation that they have in the school system.
Well, there are a lot of people out there. You're absolutely right, Tony. But I think what a lot of people want is they just want to be told the truth the first time. Well, they don't want to be fed this information piecemeal. I think we deserve it to them. We get hired as we're a selectman. We're not on a school board.
Right.
I think our decisions and things that we do are supposed to be for the entire town.
I agree 100%, and I believe that when the superintendent of school tells me what he needs to make his budget whole, I have to accept that.
Right.
I it's not under my purview to question him. I think the school committee has plenty of opportunities.
Under your purview. You're the board of selectmen.
Right, but the bottom line is that I want to know from the town manager what he needs. I want to know from the superintendent what he needs.
Well,
and
in truth, you have to know about the cost of the operation to evaluate them.
Right.
So,
I mean,
it's not just about taking their word for it. But Bill from Draken has a question, I guess. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. I realize that the money in the first year is going for the IT aspect in the schools.
The first 3 years.
And the first what?
First 3 years.
Okay. And then the money, the other monies are going for the 6 policemen and 3 firemen. And that's going to be pretty much what that money's going to do. But as far as after the first 3 years in the school, what are they going to do with the money? Are they going to give raises again?
No, it would pay for the employees they had hired using the rebates.
Well, they never come out and said.
Yeah, they did say that.
As specific as the.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, the superintendent said that on Tuesday.
You can't rely on the and we talked about this earlier before Tony and Joe get in here. What they decide to do with the money at the time they make the decision is what they'll do with it. So you can be told any number of things, and I'm not being critical here. I'm just telling you the reality of it. You can be told any number of things, including we're going to give you an override that says there should be X for this operation and X for that operation, and town meeting can turn it all around. And either operation, I'm not going to just point the finger at one department or another, either side of government could change how they're going to spend those funds after you approve them. They could do that. And, in fact, I think it's fair to say that you wouldn't want them to be bound by a decision that might at some point not be valid. I mean, I don't think anybody would want that, right?
Well, I can see the money for the police and firemen. That's pretty much going to pay for their salaries going forward. That's pretty straight. But as far as after the 3 years at the school, I'm afraid there's going to be more raises and so forth. That's my concern.
Well, I mean, you have to talk to the members of the school committee about that. I'm not going to guess what they may or may not do. Yeah. Joe?
The override stays there, but after the first year, the budgets have to be approved once again.
Right. They have to be approved the first year.
Approved by who?
But right. Through town meeting.
But if a ballot is specifically says $300,000 will go for technology, it does.
Yeah.
In that override number, the second year, it's all another budget process. It's not... the first year ballot does not cover you down the road.
We talked about that earlier. Yeah, no, we agree with that. So you have to, you know, we all elect our local elected officials, school committee and board of selectmen, and you have to kind of make sure you elect the right ones that are going to make decisions that you approve of. So
and the override's forever. There's no sunset clause on any of this.
Well, they could ask for a sunset clause on it if they wanted to, but I haven't heard any discussion about that. So
thank you.
All right, Bill. Have a good day. All right, 7:30. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of this exciting discussion, particularly if you're from Draken. It's 7:40 here on Saturday Morning Live. We're talking Draken. We're talking about the override scenario that's going to develop in the next, Sean Ash, in the next couple of months.
I got one question I want to ask is, even if this thing goes through, don't we still have the structural deficit, and are we still just kicking this down the road for another 4 or 5 years?
Well, I think, I mean, we're certainly looking to create some economic development in town. We're always looking for new business to come in, and I think that's probably the ultimate solution is that we get more business in town and we increase our tax levy.
Do you think the people want that? I mean, that's
a good question.
That's been my ongoing concern because I've been involved in this stuff for years, and the last master plan the town did, which goes back to when Jimmy O'Loughlin was on the Board of Selectmen, said they didn't want it.
I agree. There is a very delicate balance between keeping the rural atmosphere of the town and turning it into some industrial complex.
Yeah. No, it's a struggle, and it's a matter. Now, everybody agree. I don't think I'll ask you both. I mean, do either of you disagree that Draken needs more money to operate with?
No, I've said it right along. We do need more money. The problem is the selling part of it. I mean, I think I said that at the first meeting of the tri-board is we have to find a way to convince the people. And I don't think we've done that.
Right.
I think this MRI,
Tony, you
the report
agree.
From the police has done some good
that has
stuff.
That has certainly identified a need for more investment in public safety. There's no question about it.
I mean, it's pretty evident to see. Like I said, it's all in the convincing of what is the right thing to do. But people need to believe that whoever is telling them something needs to have trust in that person.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's missing.
I would just say from my part, I worked on a solution last year with Dr. McNamara and others that didn't see the light of day, but in the end, I think was a good negotiation point for them.
I would say
my strong feeling is this: if people aren't together, if there isn't one message coming out of government, it's not going anywhere.
That is my point exactly. I mean, if you need somebody to tell you what we need to do, we've looked at this issue, we've studied this issue, we believe that we need more money in all of the departments in the town. It is a reasonable amount. If you support public safety, if you support the schools, then it should be one question, and we should all be united.
Well, I mean, not just because the other side of that argument would be, well, why don't you trust the people to make that decision?
Well, I think that we do trust the people to make the decision.
But you're only giving them one choice.
Well, that's the only choice they need. This is the problem. The problem is town.
I get it, but that's the other side of the argument. I can make both sides.
The difference is, I don't want to speak for these guys, but on one side,
they wouldn't like that.
I can show you. I can go out and say, look at your roads at night. You have three cops covering a whole town. On the school side, I have this great big complex thing that's really hard to explain and really hard to sell that it has a need.
That's why probably at some point the fact that they're doing an independent assessment is
it's very important.
The other problem, though, Sean, is when you look at this big complex, this big school complex, if you're not a parent, if you don't see what happens inside those walls, then you're less likely to know, the depth of
the need.
Right. So, but I mean...
But I think everybody is touched by somebody that's in a school system.
Right, I agree. Yeah.
I mean, and then you look at the other... I mean, you look at the... I don't... You know, what the school board is trying to do, I can understand it. I mean, that's what they got elected to do. But I think us as selectmen, we got elected to look at the whole town.
No,
you know,
true.
I get...
But you have the same responsibility to the schools that they have.
Of course I have.
Yeah,
right.
You know, the paper come out and said that this was all political. That's BS. It's not political.
What was political?
that my choice for the two votes was a political move. It's
oh, you mean the editorial?
The editorial.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
It's
I didn't
way
think that was
base.
Well thought
it's wrong.
I don't think you're dividing the town by giving the people choice.
Neither do I. It's giving them a choice.
But I don't care which one they do. You know what I mean? It's a matter of, you know, the people that are, the people that are concerned about what happened on the school side, and I'm not making any judgments mm-hmm. about it. I think everybody agrees that Stone has at least done a good job over there, and I don't know of anybody. I haven't heard Joe DiRocco say he didn't deserve that raise. I certainly have not come to that conclusion. It is all about timing in a year when you're asking for the override. So that's where the cloudy area comes.
Right. You know, if you make a mistake, you're accountable. I don't care who it is. If we make a mistake, we're accountable. We don't just push this stuff aside, okay, and say, hey, let's just move on.
Right.
Because that's not what people want to hear.
Go ahead, Tony.
I'm not quite sure. What mistake are we talking about?
What mistake? Yeah. I think the timing of the mistake of the raises was definitely a mistake.
Well, you know, that's another thing. Now, I'm not going to speak for the school committee, but if you look at that whole situation...
So do you think it was a mistake?
Well, first of all, all five school committees...
Do you think
people,
it was a mistake?
I think it was a mistake in timing.
Right. That's everybody's saying that.
But I will tell you that all five of those school committee people... Okay. All five of them actually, they voted.
I get it.
Unanimously.
I understand.
Okay, they took ownership for it. Okay, they you may disagree
with
what they did.
Did they say it was wrong?
No, they took ownership for making the vote. They made the vote. They said this is something that needs to be done.
Tony, you sat through all of these tri boards, the budget task force. Did it come to you as a surprise when they did it? After you were all supposed to be so transparent, everything was out there.
Well,
did it come as a surprise?
I think you will have a response.
It was in town.
I promised Governor Kasich he could respond.
First of all, they thought that it had to be negotiated. They thought that it had to be negotiated in executive session, and because it went into executive session, then it couldn't be talked about. So
they took a vote in executive session, from what I'm hearing.
We're getting in deeper here.
That in itself is illegal.
We're getting in deeper. I'm just saying. All right, Rich, it's your turn. Go ahead. Wait a minute. Finish your thought.
Here's the issue. If you don't like what the school committee did, if you think what they did is wrong, then the electorate is who should take care of that. If you don't like what they did, vote them out of office. You don't punish 3,900 children because you don't like what the school committee did.
That's not even what I said.
Why do you want to punish their school children, DiRocco? He just said that. He said you want to punish the kids.
I know what he said, but I think he forgets. He's a selectman. He's not on a school committee.
I'm here to make the whole town better, Joe, not just the
that's
the
not government. What you're trying to do. But anyway, besides that point, look at it. We all know there's more revenue needed.
Right.
My whole thing about this is come out, be honest with the people, tell them what you need. You have to convince them of what it is. It's not up to me to convince them. It's not up to Tony to convince them.
Right. All right. We're going to go to Rich.
There's one little piece here that hasn't been mentioned, which is that the school superintendent's salary hasn't changed from 2013 to what's now proposed in 2017.
What does that do with
anything?
It
has not changed.
What do you mean?
What I mean is that the Stacy Scott superintendent, his salary was $160 in the year when he left.
Right.
And now they're talking about, okay, we're going to bring Stone, who was a new guy who'd never done the job before.
But here's the problem.
That's what it was 4 years ago.
Right. Here's the problem with that, Rich. I mean, and everybody keeps doing this. No one has said that the superintendent didn't, that the school committee improperly evaluated the superintendant. I have not heard that from anybody. It's all about timing. So are you saying that the timing was a good thing?
I've always said that timing was what.
That's the only issue, Rich. I mean, you can't blame Joe DiRocco for all of this anti-school stuff when he has only said things about the timing. That's what he said. He has not said he's not anti superintendent of schools. I don't even think. Are you anti the raise?
No.
All right. So there you go.
If you could roll back all the salaries for the superintendent, fire chief, police chief, and the town
it's
manager,
it's all about the times,
to the
Rich.
Levels of 4 years ago. You know, you wouldn't see much change in all of those positions.
Right. But Rich, again, it's got nothing to do with that. The little bit of tremor that's around town over this thing has nothing to do with what you just said. It's all about timing, and all of those school committee members will tell you privately, we wish we had thought it through. But, you know, again, you got to move on, and at the end of the day, and I think everybody here will agree, there is still a structural financial problem in the town of Drake.
On both sides of government.
They have nothing to do with government. It's the revenue package. Mm-hmm. It's the amount of money you have to appropriate to the various services.
the thing is that if you approve, whether the number is half million, a million, million and a half, or 2.9, whatever you approve in terms of an override, you can make adjustments in year 2, 3, and 4. And that's the thing that in other words...
What do you mean by adjustments?
If 2.9 had been approved, I am sure that by now the police and fire department would have gotten a large chunk of that, because there's actual needs in those departments as in addition to the school.
Well, it might be. I don't right. So there is, I mean, there is no question. Everybody should admit that there is a structural financial deficit, not a deficit, I hate that word, but a structural financial problem in the town of Draga, because 91% of our revenue comes from homes, and homes cost all the money to provide services to. That's the problem. We have to fix it. So it's a matter of, like, the selectmen, the school board, everybody else got to be on the same page. They got to do something that has a good chance of success. I'm not sure we're there.
So
I don't know.
So I have a quote.
The thing that I wanted to ask Selectman Archinsky and Selectman Duraco about is the issue of state aid and how state aid is basically getting slashed because of the problem in the school system. In other words, you may not like what the superintendent salary is right now, or the just the change in
nobody cares.
Last year,
it's not the issue.
The state aid has gone from the state aid. We've lost about $1.75 million in state aid,
right,
because of the sudden, outflow of students from the public schools in Draga to charter schools.
Right.
And when that happens, right, then you get a reimbursement for the first couple of years, but then it drops off. And I'll give you a number. The reimbursement we got in FY16 was $740,000 of reimbursement from the charter school expenses.
Yep.
But, Rich, if I have 400 less students, doesn't it cost less to educate?
$360,000 in FY17. So we're losing $380,000 in 1 year.
What do you say about what Sean just said?
That's not school money. That's money that's in the general fund.
Right. What do you say about what Sean just said?
I'm sorry. There may have been a little static. What did Sean just say?
Sean said if you have 400 less students, doesn't it cost you less to educate your people?
Yes, and you can shrink the school system, but the amount, there's a myth that the money moves with the student, and that whether the money is here or there, it's a wash. That's not the case. If your school system is getting, 80-90% of the cost of the charter school. Of the state aid, like Lowell does or Lawrence especially does. If you're like Lawrence, then when the kids go to charter school, you don't lose anything. But when you're Draga and you only get 50% of the cost in terms of your state aid, then you don't gain at all.
But you're still ignoring the case of, if I have 400 less students, why can't I even close the Greenmont that only has 120 kids in it? Why am I still carrying this full school system even when we have a reducing student population?
You're not carrying the school system in terms of the Greenmont. You're just using the building as a lease.
What I didn't want to do is get into the minutiae of public schools, because I can't debate that. What I can tell you is there's not enough money. And the people that run schools, the five people in the school committee and the superintendent, I trust them to spend it. I really do. I'll be happy to say that. I trust them to spend it. That's their job. But here's the other problem. I just got a text from a fellow that said to me, I'm still making a lot less than I was in 2008. The $50,000 raise is a kick in the butt. Then you're going to ask me for more money. That's the other side of the argument. That's for the people that are out there that are going to make a decision on this. So we got a couple of minutes left. So I'm going to ask Rich before I ask.
That's good, because if you want to cut the funding, if you want to pre-up more funding, then what are you going to do about health insurance? And that's something any increase because of the health insurance issue.
Rich, we need more money to operate the town with. There's no question about that. Everybody agrees with that. You agree with it. I agree with it. The town manager agrees with it. All the selectmen agree with it. So it's a matter of where you go from here. So you got a couple of things. So will you vote for an override if it's two? Will you vote for both?
Will I vote for it if it's two separate ones?
Yes. Will you vote for both, school and police and public safety?
I will oppose the package of having it separate.
All right.
I think that I think it won't pass at all, all if it's both. Neither one will pass.
All right.
There's no point in wasting time.
If it's on I agree. I agree. So you would not support, if the Board of Selectmen decides to put separate questions on the ballot, you would not support either one?
Well, I think that things will have to get worse before they get better in that case.
All right. So, and you would vote for a single override?
Well, no, I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't work on it. In other words, I wouldn't work to get it to be passed.
I would
probably vote to support it, but I'm not going to put in hundreds of hours of volunteer time in order to pass it if it's split.
All right, Joe DiRocco.
Because look, the schools, if you get 2% of the school budget, is around $550 million. 2% of public safety is only about 150. So, there's, you know, if you give, you were giving, by doing a 550-550, we are giving a much higher percentage to public safety than the schools.
All right, so
if it's combined, I will support it, even though the percentage given to the public safety is going to be much higher than the percentage given to the schools.
All right, so Joe DiRocco, I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked Rich Cowan. If there's a single ballot question that the board votes on, are you going to vote for it?
Yes.
You are going to vote for it?
Yes.
But you will oppose...
I am opposed to it, but I would still vote for
it. And you would vote...
I believe a need is there.
And you'll vote for it if it's separate questions.
I will.
Tony?
Absolutely.
Both.
If it's a single question, I will vote yes. If it is two questions, I will vote yes on both.
All right.
I'm totally convinced that it is
Sean,
needed.
You want to answer the question?
I would say the same thing. I'll vote yes
all
for
right.
each one.
So we're all on the same page, for the record.
But I think we stand a much better chance of getting it passed if we're all united and we all say
so you
this
will
is
take responsibility for its failure if it goes your way
Absolutely.
And it goes down like a ton of bricks.
Absolutely.
All right. And if it, you know, all right. So that's important to say because...
Got a quick question, Warren, before our time runs out. If we do it as two questions and just the municipal side passes... Would we fight to make sure that money stays there, or is there a possibility that gets split over?
You know what, Sean? That is a whole nother program.
Sure is, and that was a question we brought up.
Actually two programs.
Because
Rich, I got to let you go. Thanks for calling in this morning. We only have a couple of minutes left. I want to finish off.
Because there are things that could happen at town meeting, even if this passes or doesn't pass.
Well, I think it's an interesting conversation. There is a lot. I mean, most people will, if you walk the streets of town today, most people will tell you, either one has no chance. I'm not saying that. I you know, be interested to hear what other people say. But it all what it comes down to is the message coming from town government.
Exactly.
What is it? Well, and if people buy it, go ahead.
Let me throw another thing in. The probably because of my age, you know, group.
You're
I talk
old.
To a lot of seniors.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had some from East Drake had called me that a lot of them are just on Social Security.
Right.
So right now I'm trying to look at to see if there's a way we can give them a tax break so that they would vote for these things. But, you know, some of them, the ones who are on Social Security, you know, although $100 or $150 doesn't sound like a lot of money to us, it does to them.
I got it. You won't get an argument out of me. I've been through these wars before.
Yeah. I mean, I try to take all of this into consideration and I will vote accordingly.
Right.
Well, I actually feel that I don't think that people should be put in a position where they have to choose between public safety and education.
So you don't want to give them the choice.
It's something that we need on both sides.
But I mean, either side could say to you, that's a fair thing, but somebody could also say, why don't you trust us to make the choice?
Well, it's not a question of trusting somebody to make the choice. I think it's a question of having a united front saying that we have studied these issues, we need this money, this is the way we should
go. So whatever happens, it sounds like, and I don't know about the rest of the board, but it sounds like you might have a unanimous vote of the Board of Selectmen no matter which way it goes.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, well, at least of those present and accounted for. I will say it that. I shouldn't have said that. You're right. All right. Well, listen, I want to thank both of you coming in. It's not always easy to bang around these kind of issues because there aren't any simple answers.
Absolutely.
And there's no way of making yourself look good because you're at risk. You're a candidate up for election. People could take it out on you.
The interesting thing is there was a ballot question the last time I ran as well. So,
Were you in favor of it?
Yes, I was. I
you,
think so.
You supported the 2.9?
I don't remember saying that.
We'll research that. Yeah. We'll get an answer for you. We're going to put...
That's a touchy one because that was another case of
I gotta
the school
go.
Looking for...
Thanks for coming in, guys. Yeah. We're going to go top of the hour. We've got John Leahy next. Stick around.